Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cada 10 años, el gobierno federal lleva a cabo el censo. Todos los que viven en tu hogar tienen que ser contados en el censo 2020, incluyendo los recién nacidos, no importa el lugar de origen. Personal del censo con identificación estará haciendo dos visitas a tu hogar. Una para entregarte un cuestionario y si no respondes, otra visita para darte seguimiento. Dale forma a tu futuro. Empieza aquí. Conoce más en 2020census.gov.
Pagado por la Oficina del Censo de los Estados Unidos.
Yes, if you haven't filled out the census, do that. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today is Tuesday, April, the microphone's in the way of the calendar, April 14th. And my show today, well, I have a follow-up interview with Kat Alonzo Bodziak about HRH 413, harm reduction hedgehogs. And I have a recorded piece from International Women's Day back on March 8th from, I think it's Tanisha Arena from Arise for Social Justice talking. And I got some stories, this, that, and the other, and a bunch of songs. But I'm going to start with, so on my way here, or on my way from the transfer center just now, I guess my way here sort of started from doing trash pickups on Round Hill Road and then making my way back. No, maybe my furthest turnaround point would have been Dwayne Rainey's place, dropping off some cans for his C4C, Cans for Cancer thing, which there'll be an update on that later. That's moving along. Anyway, so on my way here, on my way back from my furthest point away in downtown Northampton, I was on the bike path, biking up the path, and, you know, with the coronavirus and people staying at home more, and people needing to get out close to home, I've seen a lot of older people out on the path, neighbors who I never knew I had. And when I rode by someone today, a stranger I'd never seen, it just reminded me of this John Prine song, John Prine, R.I.P.
Apartment in the city, and me and Loretta like living there. Well, it's been years since the kids have grown a life of their own and left us alone. John and Linda live in Omaha, and Joe is somewhere on the road. And we lost Davy in the Korean War, and I still don't know what for. It don't matter anymore. You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there. Hello. Thank you. me and Loretta, we don't talk much more. She sits and stares through the back door screen. And all the news just repeats itself like some forgotten dream that we both sing. Someday I'm going to call up Rudy. We work together at the factory. But what can I say if you ask what's new? Nothing was with you. Nothing much to do. You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there. Hello. So if you're out walking down the street sometime and spot some hollow ancient ass, well, please don't just pass them by and stare as if you didn't care. Say hello in there. Hello.
John Prine, that reminds me of a poem I wrote this last week. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, and I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, for the hour, Tuesdays from 3 until 4, at least until May, or I go back to Trinidad. Anyway, so a couple weeks ago, my friend Clarissa, she sent this email out to some friends, and it said something like, hey, I want to do this poem exchange. Think of a poem or an inspirational quote and email it to the next person on this list, and then switch their name to somewhere else on your email, and then send it to a bunch of other people. Well, I didn't quite get the directions. And when I first received her email, I was like, I don't have time to write a poem and do another online thing or whatever. But I didn't delete it from my inbox. And then a few days later, my housemates went out of town for the weekend. They went camping in the woods. And I was home alone, and I had some focus time, and I just started writing this poem. After I wrote the poem, then I looked at Clarissa's directions again, where she said, think of a poem, and when, or inspirational quote. And when she had said, think of a poem, I thought she meant, think of a poem, you know, make up a poem. I didn't realize she meant, you know, you can just like forward someone else's poem. Anyway, so I wrote this poem. I was thinking about if I had to give it a title, the title would probably be Feel the Warmth. I have a friend who's unrevealing. I never can tell really how he's feeling. Our encounters are rare, though it's a small town, but lately we've seen each other all around. If he's driving, he'll roll down his window and wave. If he's parked, he'll get out and walk straight my way. He'll say, Ruthie, how are you? The business? Your family? And I'll share something funny that maybe just happened. We'll laugh, and then I'll say, so what's up with you? He'll say, oh, I'm fine. Just work. Nothing new. 2 weeks ago, he and I had an encounter. He in his car and me with my trailer unloading trash at the Locust Street Center. Well, actually, he had arrived just before me, stepped out of his car, and then he walked toward me. We greeted with warmth, as we typically do. Warmth from 6 feet, per the CDC rule. It had been many months since last we'd spoken. Sometime last year, if I'm not mistaken. But he'd been on my mind, as someone to tell of my dream to ship bikes and me over the ocean. He said, "What do you need? Money? Bikes? Anything?" I said, "Yeah, it helps to have funds for these things." We each went our way. But then, when I got home, there he biked up with a white envelope. He extended his hand. I took it in mine. He gave me the check. I gave him a smile. We still kept our space. He's 6'3 or 6'4, so with arms extended, there's still 6 feet or more of distance between us. How much is enough? What cost to be safe? What's lost to be sure? I don't want him sick. He works the front lines. "You came awful quick. You don't waste any time," I said, pleased at his bike in the drive. He said, "You gotta respond while the thing's on your mind." The check had a card that said I inspire him. I wrote him a thanks that I left on his porch. When gratitude surges, who knows the true source? Thank you for sharing your kindness of heart, compassion for others, wherever they are. Our bikes crossed again the next day in the tunnel. I asked him about work. He said, "The day's sunny. I'm off today, and it's good to be out." I said, "Ah, to feel freedom. That's joy, no doubt." And I'm left to wonder, how are you, really? He just asks about others. A habit of healing? But I hear when he's working the emergency room, he waxes poetic in moments of gloom. I can't really say how is his mind or his life. Someday he might tell me, if I were more quiet. I just know he's excited to see me and say hey, but so unrevealing in every other way. All right. That was a poem by me, Ruthie Woodring, from the streets of Northampton, Massachusetts. Thanks for listening to Out There. Next on Out There, I will play this from Kat Bozsiak from Friday.
Yeah, so when we talked before with Albie in the studio, Kat, that was March 3rd. Now it's like April 10th, I think.
Oh, gosh.
The whole, like, COVID-19 stuff has happened. Like how has your work changed with HR 413?
The hedgehogs.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I wrote it down, but I lost the bill number. But anyways, like Albie C. Parks and Jess Tilly founded the harm reduction program in Northampton called the Hedgehogs, and it's basically like a program that's still fledgling and precarious, but. So because of that, we have actually not been able to have physical meetings. So everything's online right now. And so I can't even go online because I'm poor and I don't have a computer. My phone is awful. So they've been Zooming their harm reduction meetings on Facebook. And the reason why I'm talking with Ruthie again is just that I found this group last year when I relapsed on alcohol and had no idea because I've never been like a drunk. So I was just drinking and I started to try to quit drinking and went into withdrawals in a really severe way. And some person randomly invited me to the meeting and I'm sitting there going through withdrawals and I'm wearing like glitter sandals and an Elvis t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And Albie was just like, you know, I was like sweating and shaking and I was like, "I'm wearing glitter sandals and an Elvis t-shirt." And he's like, "I see that, sweetie." And he just like totally validated my reality. And so that's what harm reduction does too. It's like, it's about saying what's really happening. What can I actually do? What can I really do? And for me, it's been about really basic things. And I started doing outreach work with homeless people. And now I can't because I was sick and I can't go near anyone or talk to anyone, and I have to ask for information from like the police and like people have been like, you know, from Northampton have been telling me that my homeless friends are okay. And so that's been really a relief because I can't sleep. And
So when you say you have to ask for information from the police, you mean just to check on
my friends
about.
And make sure they're okay, because most of the people I know, like, I ride my bike every day. For 22 years, I've been riding my bike in Northampton every day. I'm out and about. I sit on the sidewalk. I talk to people who are homeless and on the street. I sit in the park every summer for salsa dancing. I'm making friends. I was already doing, that's harm reduction. I was already doing it without realizing it. Just kind of just deciding that I wanted to show up and be kind to people and respectful and listen to their stories and record them. I can't record them otherwise without a pen and paper, but I do it. So I have notebooks full of stories that people tell me on the streets. And so I ride my bike around, and so now the streets are empty. And, you know, I sit on the end of my sidewalk at the end of my street on Elm Street, and I just say, hello, 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 and I ask people questions, and they talk to me, and some people tell me a lot of things. They want to talk to people. And so I said to my friend Albie, who does a harm reduction program in Northampton at the Recovery Center, that I'm like the sidewalk ambassador right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like sitting here being present and visible, which is the antithesis of being like the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like making it like impossible mm-hmm. to like just be visible and be honest, because whatever, I don't know. But that's, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I was just thinking about, with the support group meetings being online, that excludes a lot of people. What options do people have for support?
Well, what's happening with me is that I was calling my friend Albie, Albert C. Park, who runs a harm reduction group in Northampton at the Recovery Center, and Jess Tilly, and like saying, I can't bleep, 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 go on the internet because my phone is like the Obama phone, like whatever. Some people will know what that means.
Well, I had one of those.
It's like a governmently funded phone for low income people. And I'm so low income. I have no income, basically. So I was just like, I can't figure out how to like connect with people. And there's no libraries open right now or anything. So I sit on the sidewalk at night or during the day with my cat Dino on his leash, and I just talk to people and ask questions about what people are doing. And my building, actually, at 149 Elm Street, I want to give a shout out to like Keen and Zora and my neighbors who have been so kind and like helping each other share resources and like sanitizers and food and things like that. Mm-hmm. Just totally like tribally getting it together and like mm-hmm. helping each other out without being like nasty and petty about everything. And, but on the other hand, I've been alone for my whole life pretty much, but like recently I'm used to it, but recently the isolation, the social isolation has been so intense that I've kind of lost it a couple times where I was just like texting epic texts to my friend Albie and like just like calling him. I was telling Albie today that just like, I quote him constantly because he's my harm reduction mentor, that I've learned more about myself because I have to sit with myself constantly day in and day out. And I have insight after insight. It's like a mirror, a constant mirror, where I'm just sort of like, oh my goodness. Like, okay, so I'm afraid of this. I'm doing this because of this. And so like, I'm gaining awareness, but I see people trying to like do the opposite, trying to check out and like drink or get high or whatever they're doing. And which is understandable. And so it's hard to stay connected because I have no... Oh, everybody in my building, by the way, is like unable to pay rent. So, so that's a whole nother piece. Like, just like my homeless friends are just sort of like telling me in the past jokingly, like, I can teach you how to be homeless just in case. And I'm like, now I'm telling Albie just in case, you know, always saying just in case. I'm going to say this just in case. Because it's frightening, and wealthy people are starting to have to actually evolve in a different way or something. So harm reduction is basically a social, political, spiritual group that is simply about reducing harm to all on all levels, drugs, homelessness, you know, health and mental health. It's trying to help find a way for all of us as a community to create a safe space without judgment or shame. So everyone's welcome. Even on bikes, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. That was Kat Alonzo Bozyak, Harm Reduction Hedgehogs 413. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. What Kat said, Kat's frustrations about technology and stuff reminded me. We had our monthly Pedal People meeting last night, which our meetings are now Zoom online. And at first, when I was, I went to the bike lab. I was working on bikes. And then I was trying to have this device thing I was trying to get online with to log into the meeting. And I got in, sort of, but I was having trouble with it. And like Zoom, it's like these video conference call things. And most people point it at their face. But I was so frustrated. I was like starting to cry. So I turned it away from my face. And I was like, can't stand this technology. And then it was a 3-hour meeting. But then I got to working on bikes while I was listening to other people talk. And I fixed 3 bikes during the course of that meeting. And I thought, wow, this is the most productive meeting ever. Maybe it's not so bad after all. Well, for the short term, maybe I wouldn't want to. I don't want to not be face to face with my cohorts. Because the other thing I noticed about the Zoom meeting was that certain voices are not heard, and you don't even know who those voices are because you can't see them. All right, I'm going to play some Desiree.
Yeah.
This is This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm going to make a few announcements. Today is Valley Grow Day. That is... I'm waiting for the computer page to load. That's April 14th, 2020. Support the Community Food Distribution Project. Donate now. The second annual Valley Grows Day is upon us. It's a collaborative giving day that unites and supports local organizations in the Pioneer Valley who share a commitment to growing food and addressing food access and insecurity. So this year, with the COVID-19 pandemic affecting our local farms' ability to sell their produce and products, and members of our community's ability to access food, Valley Grows Day gifts to Grow Food Northampton will directly support our work on the just-implemented Community Food Distribution Project. This tries to connect local farmers with people who need the produce. Feel free to donate to Valley Grows. And yeah, it's a collaboration between Abundance Farm, Gardening the Community, Grow Food Northampton, Just Roots, Pioneer Valley Workers Center, Seeds of Solidarity, probably some other things. Those are the ones that are mentioned right there. There's also information on the Grow Food website, the COVID-19 Community Food Distribution Project. If you need food during the COVID-19 pandemic, pre-bagged packages of food will be made available by staff and volunteers. A couple options are a drive-up at Jackson Street. The drive-up is in quotes, I should say. I'm sure you can bike up or walk up at Jackson Street School, 120 Jackson Street in Northampton. And bags will be distributed to clients directly outside the school cafeteria Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from noon to 3. That's if you don't live at one of the big housing developments in Northampton, because there's also pickup in Northampton at Hampshire Heights, Florence Heights, Meadowbrook, and the Lumberyard Building. More information on if you just look up Grow Food Northampton and the COVID-19 Food Distribution Project. And what else do I have? There's a cool webinar, as much as I don't like webinar things. So this Truth School, based here or in Northampton or Holyoke, maybe actually, the class coming up on April 19th is a Zoom the webinar kind of class. It's called Everyone Welcome, Intercultural Competency in the Workplace by LaDonna Sanders Redmond, who's an activist and freedom fighter who works on a range of issues from reproductive justice to developing alternatives to incarceration for first-time drug offenders, to urban agriculture, to developing food co-ops. Ms. Redmond believes that every community has the intellect to heal itself and is currently the equity and inclusion manager at River Valley Co-op. So this workshop will help you and your team learn how to begin and implement a change strategy that will increase diversity and inclusion in your organization. By focusing on equitable outcomes, this workshop will allow you to serve your community, staff, and customers and clients in ways that will create a more inclusive and sustainable world. You can register for that at truthschool.org. Also, another webinar online class that same day. Gosh, I really wish I could go to both of them. Oh, wait, if you have two computers or two phones, you probably kind of can't you? That sounds like trouble. But so also there's the Mashpee Wampanoag Solidarity Training. That's also happening on the 19th. Learn how to support the Mashpee Wampanoag as they reverse what's the so-called disestablishment of their tribal lands. In this course, people across the country and internationally will learn to help the Mashpee Wampanoag retain their tribal lands from a recent federal assault. We will close the webinar with a Dream Warriors live concert, United We Are Unstoppable. A few more details. Last month, the Department of the Interior announced that Mashpee Wampanoag lands would be removed from federal trust and its reservation proclamation would be revoked. Yeah, so learn how to support their rights to the land in this webinar. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, and it's time for another song. Which one? Which one? Which one? Oh, yeah. How about Whitney Houston?
Make sure everything goes right, and you find
right, next on Out There, I'm going to play a talk by Tanisha Arena, who's the executive director of Arise for Social Justice. This talk was from March 8th, 2020, an International Women's Day, an annual International Women's Day event at First Churches in Northampton, Massachusetts.
So not only do we struggle to define ourselves against the patriarchy, but also in relation to one another. Are we really united and aligned in sisterhood? If you look up the definition of sisterhood, what you'll find is this: the relation between sisters, or an association, society, or community of women linked by a common interest, religion, or trade. Can we reach that place of sisterhood? Women united across our differences of race and class, bound together by our common interests. As we celebrate the centennial anniversary of women gaining the right to vote, it's important to remember that not all women gained the right to vote at that time. The women suffragists that we celebrate weren't exactly in favor of women that looked like me gaining the right to vote. That didn't happen until 65 years later with the passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Elizabeth Cady Stanton worked diligently for the rights of women who were much like herself: white, middle class, culturally if not religiously Protestant, property, and well-educated. Stanton came to see women like herself as more deserving of rights than other people. Susan B. Anthony, another revered suffragist, stated, "I will cut off this right arm of mine before I will ever work or demand the ballot for the Negro and not the woman."
Ooh.
As if being black and a woman could be separated, as if being black excluded womanhood. In the words of Sojourner Truth, "Ain't I a woman? What I want you to know, accept, and understand is just because the word woman is spoken, that didn't mean and still often doesn't mean black and brown women, women like me." In our movements today, are we working for true social justice or just the betterment of people that look like us? Can we meet one another at the intersections of allegiance to sisterhood? People have often asked me how I've gotten to this place. As a young black girl, I had examples of strength and grace and leadership in my grandmother, my aunties, and my mother. These women worked, took care of home, raised children, faced and overcame adversity, and did it with an elegance and grace that is unmatched. They continue to be living examples of sisterhood in my life and in the lives of my children, my cousins, their nieces, nephews, granddaughters, and grandsons. The values and beliefs that I have about excellence, being a woman and what I can achieve, my expectations, and the standards I have were forged from being in the spaces I occupied with these women. I do this for my daughters, because little girls with dreams become women with vision, and so that they too can see and know the wisdom of elders and the power that exists in womanhood. Strong women do indeed raise strong women. I became the leader of an organization that was founded by four single mothers on welfare, women who had to choose between bettering themselves through education or losing the benefits that they needed to survive. These are the issues that those four women faced and cleared a path for those coming after: Marsha Burnett, Terrell Winston, Holly Patterson, and Michael Ann Busey. They are the legacy of Arise for Social Justice. I invite you all to check out the work that we're doing at Arise in this next leg of our journey. Visit our website. Come check us out at the office at 38 School Street in Springfield. I learned that as women, we cannot leave anyone behind. It is more important than ever that we forge alliances and support one another, be allies to one another, and help one another along the way. None of us lead single-issue lives, but how often do we meet each other at the corner of white supremacy and patriarchy? Can we see our shared interests and commonality beyond our differences? Can we not only imagine that world, but create it? Can we expect others to celebrate us and elevate us when we separate and divide one another, and when we do not support the elevation of each other? Our experiences of being women shape us, yet intersectionality prevents us from being able to connect on the surface. As a woman, I know what it feels like to be the only one in a room in male-dominated spaces. As a woman, I know the inherent dangers I may have to consider with that space. Regardless of race, social, economic status, or education level, how many of you can relate? As a woman, I know what it feels like to be included. For example, participating in this very day with you, And I know what it feels like to be excluded because of other parts of my identity in the spaces I don't feel particularly welcome. Not only am I a woman, I'm a Black woman, and I'm a lesbian. In our definition of women, we must make room for all of our identities. Aside from being the only woman in the room, I've also been the only Black woman in the room. I've also been the only Black woman in the room. And against the patriarchy, my Blackness won't save me. Against white supremacy, my womanhood won't save me. The only thing to save us all is sisterhood. When we look beyond the surface, there is strength in numbers. And women united, celebrating our sisterhood and common bonds, there is tremendous strength in honoring our differences and celebrating those as well. We cannot continue to use our differences to divide and separate us from each other and from ourselves. Our voices matter, individually and together. The patriarchy is painful. It hurts all women and doesn't allow us to celebrate who we are, to support the best of who we are. Women in tech, in sports, in science, math, medicine, in boardrooms, C-suites, and oval offices. Women in leadership, strong, graceful, thoughtful, and whole. Women in this room. The patriarchy demands that we send home the most qualified woman in favor of the least qualified man. And white supremacy demands that white women support white men who proudly speak of violating them in their bodies.
Yeah.
Uplifting and supporting each other as women in sisterhood means speaking out about the injustices that affect women who do not look like you. It means taking a step back if you've always had a space up front. And it can mean giving up your seat at the table for a different voice in leadership and rallying to support that voice of leadership and being the change. Honoring the voices of Black and Brown women and Indigenous women, listening to the wisdom that exists there in those communities. Sisterhood means honoring the identities of Black trans women who have not only sparked movements, but also set the table, prepared the meals, and carried them on their backs and given their lives. Sisterhood is challenging the systems and institutions that you benefit from, that oppress others, and doing the anti-racist work necessary to get comfortable in the discomfort that that brings. This movement is about solidarity, sisterhood, allyship, and being accomplices. Don't just stand with me, go before me, using your privilege as a hedge of protection. Speak out and speak up because your silence is deafening in the most crucial moments. Challenge the status quo. Check your own privilege and check your friends and your family. The intersections of allegiance to sisterhood looks like showing up for reproductive justice and working to elevate the voices of those most impacted and advocating for better health care and treatment for Black women. J. Marion Sims is lauded as the father of modern day gynecology, yet he conducted his research on enslaved Black women without anesthesia and without their consent. When he perfected his techniques and operated on white women, he used anesthesia. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Black women in the United States are over 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy or childbirth-related causes. But this is not just a challenge in the United States. Around the world, thousands of women struggle to give birth in the poorest countries. Do not allow the rewriting of history and the erasure of the truth because it's ugly. It will piss you off at first, but ultimately set you free. The intersections of allegiance to sisterhood look like laying down white supremacy and standing together with women. Women like me, women like you. It's not keeping quiet about the poverty that impacts women and children more than any other group, and being more upset about the economic injustice than about policing women's rights to choose to have children. It's speaking out and demanding prison reform and challenging the stereotypes about incarcerated women and demanding better of child protective services. Women who may not look like you or have lived experiences that mirror yours. Sisterhood is examining your own internalized misogyny that tells us we aren't good enough or don't deserve to be educated, honored, and respected, that we should be mistreated and given less, and that we don't deserve to have the same opportunities around the world. We are leaders in our community. We are caregivers, moms, daughters, sisters, friends, partners, scientists, lawyers, executives. Sisterhood is answering the question, just who does she think she is? And answering bold and daring, she is me and I am her. So not only do we struggle to...
That was Tanisha Arena, Executive Director of Arise for Social Justice. from a speech that she gave at the International Women's Day event on March 8th, 2020 in Northampton. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Out There is airing every Tuesday from 3 until 4 for a little while more, probably. A couple other announcements I wanted to make. Oh, I got a tax refund check in the mail last week, and it reminded me of the Franklin County People's Fund. It reminded me, I don't know, maybe people might be getting other checks from the government at some point. If you're still working and you get a check from the government, and if you don't, if you can, if you are in a position where you can share some, pass it on. There's an effort to encourage people who are still working and still receiving paychecks to pass any government money on to undocumented workers who will never see any of this money and who have likely lost their work. And the Franklin County People's Fund, based in Greenfield, is one place where you can donate to that. I had a website here, but I lost it. Well, Franklin County People's Fund, you can look it up. There's a Venmo account kind of money transfer thing that they do there. Now I'm going to play a few minutes from the last Sunday sermon of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
The President's Commission on Technology, Automation, and Economic Progress recommended these things. Some time ago, nothing has been done. Even the urban coalition made up of mayors of most of the cities of our country, and the leading businessmen have said that these things should be done. Nothing has been done. The Kerner Commission came out with its report just a few days ago, and then made specific recommendations. Nothing has been done. And I submit that nothing will be done until people of goodwill put their bodies and their souls in motion. And it will be the kind of soul force brought into being as a result of this confrontation that I believe will make the difference. Yes, it will be a poor people's campaign. This is a question facing America. Ultimately, a great nation is a compassionate nation. America has not met its obligations and its responsibilities to the poor. One day, we will have to stand before the God of history, and we will talk in terms of things we've done. Yes, we will be able to say, we build gargantuan bridges to span the seas. We build gigantic buildings to kiss the skies. Yes, we made our submarines to penetrate oceanic depths. We brought into being many other things with our scientific and technological power. It seems that I can hear the God of history saying, that was not enough. But I was hungry, and ye fed me not. I was naked, and ye clothed me not. I was devoid of a decent sanitary house to live in, and ye provided no shelter for me. And consequently, you cannot enter the kingdom of greatness.
That was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I was hoping Donald Trump was listening to that, because I just wanted him to hear that reminder that, you know, a great nation is a compassionate nation. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Coming up at 4 o'clock is Madness Radio. I got a couple of other little things from the hodgepodge of today's show. I want to do a little shout out to my friend Michael the Doctor. A couple days ago, he comes riding into the yard with his bike and trailer with a big bag of carrots and roots and corn tortillas from Winter Moon Farm over in Hadley. A gift for my household. It was really great because, I mean, like, I've got money, but the whole shopping thing is not really my forte. And especially these days, I really don't want to go inside stores. So to have a friend drop it off on a bike and then go biking down the path with him, that was sweet. Thanks, Michael. Here's another magical moment from a couple days ago. I normally ride my work bike with my patch kit and pump and all that on it, but I was riding a different bike. It was kind of a long story, but I ended up having a floor pump strapped to the back of my bike. I was trying to take it somewhere, and then I gave it to Paige, and then Paige gave it back to me, and then I was riding back from my community garden plot with this floor pump strapped to the back of my bike, which, like, why would I carry a floor pump? I would never carry a floor pump except I was trying to deliver it. And when I was coming back from the community gardens, there was this four people that I assumed to be a family biking in front of me, and I caught up to them on the Meadow Street Bridge, and right as I passed them, I heard the girl say, "Oh, no, I'm losing air in my tire. It's going flat. I wish I could pump it up." And I kept on riding because I was like, I thought, oh, too bad I didn't pack my patch kit and pump with me this time because that's on my other bike. And I kept on riding at Meadow Street. And I looked over my shoulder to see what the family had decided to do. And they had stopped at the bridge. And as I looked over my shoulder, I was like, I saw that pump strapped to the back of my bike. And I was like, hey, wait, I do have a pump. So I turned around and went back there. And I was like, hey, you need a pump? So they pumped it up. Enough to get them home, I think. But it just made me think about, like, what are the chances that I would be passing them right as they had that problem and the girl said that and that I would have a pump and all that. But there's so much opportunity, I feel like, for magic moments that we just don't see or recognize or hear. I feel like the power of observation is a superhero power, one that I would like to fine tune a little bit more. And what else for today? Well, as I like to do, I'll play a song this song. This song's been on my mind because with the corona thing, there's just a line from this song that comes into my mind, the line where there's something like, I wanna hug you, squeeze you, wrap my arms around you, you know, all those things that we're not supposed to do right now. This is the Pointer Sisters.